Do you struggle to feel the presence of God with you throughout stressful days? Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker shows you how to bring prayer into your daily routine through simple movements and mindful rhythms that draw your heart and mind back to God anytime, anywhere. Get your copy now wherever you buy books.
Hello, everybody. A quick announcement up front. While this is supposed to be Salem Part 2, a thing came up for Alex. He had to go out of town. Instead of us putting together an episode without Alex or bringing on a guest and throwing them in the middle of the Salem series, we're just going to go ahead and do a minisode compilation, which we haven't done in a while, and we'll be back next week with Salem Part 2 when Alex gets back from his family thingamajig. Thank you for your patience. We appreciate you. Come see us live in Chicago, August 22nd. Cox and Crendor, X Illuminati Live. Tickets are for sale in the link description below. Bye-bye. Well, don't go. We'll watch the video. Well, I mean the episode. You know what I mean.
Hello, my little Chilluminauts, and welcome to another minisode. Yeah. 260-something.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely 260 something.
What are we doing today, gentle boys?
I got something for you that's kind of interesting. We were talking about this just recently. I don't remember why. We were talking about, maybe it was on another show. Maybe it was on Star Wars. I can't remember. We were talking about the collective unconscious.
Oh my God. I think you have the same article I do. Excellent. Let's go.
We're tapping into the collective unconscious. And the notion of the new sphere, or the idea that there is some repository of knowledge out there that is, you know, independent of ourselves in our brains. So like, instincts, or like the way that certain people have visions of the same figure or something like that. It's like shared mental experiences that we shouldn't be able to have because we're not networked together, right? It's like maybe there's some sort of knowledge repository somewhere. And so, this article that's in Popular Mechanics is talking about how not only are these things like just supported by events from history of people actually seeing things or having a vision or having a mental image, but also people who are that have aphantasia, right? Like people who can't think of stuff,
like don't have like a mental mind, like a mind's eye.
Yeah, like technically, like there's nothing stopping those people from having these sort of same visions. Mm-hmm. And it basically started with this guy who is a associate professor of psychology at Greenwich, a University of Greenwich, who went to visit Northern Mexico and visit this like community of indigenous people there in Northern Mexico who work with the deer deity. And he got there and he hadn't taken any drugs and he hadn't done any like peyote or whatever. And he was having like visions every time he'd close his eyes of like fractal coyotes, the actual peyote plant in his brain, deer. And he was like tripping out. He was like, I saw a deer. I saw one that was wearing sunglasses and a cowboy hat that was like, yo, dude, what's up? But apparently
when I read that, I was like, that feels so Alex coded.
Yeah. According to the tribe, the deer is like a trickster figure in their mythology. And he's kind of like the raven, or like, you know, like another, like Anansi, like a lot of like, just humor and trickery and silliness, and that running into a modern version that adopts like Deadpool vibes doesn't make zero sense according to this. But the thing that he really wanted to get into wasn't the fact that it was a deer, but that how it happened. And he talked about how Carl Jung made the collective unconscious, he talked about Plato, the allegory of the cave. He just talked about all the different pseudosciencey things that have kind of touched on this topic over the years. And there's a review of neuroscience that happened last year that kind of redefined it as a network of like a brain array, sort of, that like are inherited through sort of like being with other people, that your brain can then access somehow due to some stimuli, right? And so a lot of the like archetypal symbols and stuff that are like studied by like shaman traditions, like all the types of like sort of like, you know, we were talking about sigils recently, stuff like that, like images and symbols that you focus on and that become part of this. There was another study a year before the Neuroscience Review that says that cultural symbols can then like resonate, like a meme sort of is a cultural symbol that you're passing on to somebody else. And you can kind of like experience it by seeing it and having the same reaction to it as somebody else. Or over many, many hundreds of years, you can sort of instinctually gain those reactions to memes by like having a sort of relationship with your own culture. But there's not really any sort of like unifying theory about it other than that like lots of people who've had DMT encounters like have similar things. Like we were talking the other day about that comedian, right, who has that really famous story where he vaped some DMT from his vape pen, and his buddy vaped some of the same DMT and was like, they love you here.
Yes, remember that?
And he's like, no, they love you here. Yeah, like,
were you here for that, Jesse?
Maybe.
I think Duncan Trussell is the comedian that went through that.
Continue.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, he's like saying like he met people that knew Duncan in real life, like when he was tripping, that while Duncan wasn't tripping.
Yeah. No, it's basically Duncan done DMT. He often saw a purple lady there. And then one of his friends.
I know this. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah. There you go. That's exactly it.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
So like on the one hand, there's like this notion that there's like some kind of cloud drive or something that we don't really understand. But on the other hand, you know what like apophenia is, or like, the one where you can like, I forget what it's called, where you can look at like smoke on 9/11 and see like a scary face.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Pareidolia.
Yeah. Pareidolia like is another one. It's like your body is good at this already. So like you can gain, you know, like you gain information, like someone's going to call me, or like, I'm in a place and it's dangerous here. Like there's some sort of way that your body could do that subconsciously without being attached to a brain Wi-Fi network that involves just like your own subconscious pattern recognition. And so that kind of makes you feel like you're tapping into a like hard drive of memories. But the collective subconscious is like, or collective unconscious is kind of like giving a name to that concept that may or may not be biological or may not be evolutionary or maybe cultural or what, but we don't know exactly what it is other than that we seem to be finding evidence that something does exist.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this off camera too a little bit, but I mean, that recent experience I had as I explore more with psychedelics and stuff, this weirder shit tends to happen. But the one that I had where I had a trip, and then much later, I was watching a Tales from the Trip episode, which I missed that show. I wish they'd make more.
That's a great idea.
I can't remember her name. I'm very, very sorry. But she was basically telling a story where she was like, took mushrooms once, and she just like okay, I just want to see whatever is going to show me, like spirit guide, take me away. And she goes on to explain how she gets brought to this area where there's like these portals in a void. And there's like machinery around the portals, and in front of them are these stacked like thick plates or discs that are all spinning in unison and have eyes that are like guarding them. And that moment I like paused the video and just kind of said out loud, no fucking way. Because previously, months ago, I was tripping and I was having some pretty intense visuals. And one of the visuals I had was a portal in the middle of the void with metallic pipes all going inside of it, like holding it open, but not in front of it, but on the other side of it, right up against it, thick plate-like structures stacked on top of each other, all spinning in unison with an eye. And as it would come into view, the eye would open and like look and regard me and then close. And it would just rotate there. Didn't know what I was looking at. Didn't really think about anything about it. I was just like, oh, interesting. And then you fast forward about a year and I'm hearing the story from somebody else who's seeing almost one for one what I've seen, except on the other side of it. And I'm just like, I don't know what to make of it, right? Because there is that part where Alex said, maybe it is. This is part of your brain that is really good at, you know, similar patterns and putting stuff together.
But going back,
the ability, the experiences I have had, and I can't walk away by going, it's definitely my brain.
And going back like, to what I said about people with aphantasia, right? Like, this would not account for that. Like if you are just standing in a place and and things around you are making you picture something, you know, that's not what aphantasic people can do. So why right. are they able to have these experiences, right? Other things are like kind of like collective memories could be a thing. Another thing is like a shared somewhere, like a mental cloud that is literally Jung's collective unconsciousness that we like vibrate attuned to through frequencies. Other people say that reality is a biological desktop for an informational layer beneath that is really what we're perceiving,
and the quantum information kind of theory.
We and like our entire idea of what is around us is like literally like the same thing as like why there's just a cute picture of Barbados on my desktop or whatever. Like that's another option. Another option is that all of our entire perception is a controlled hallucination. Mm-hmm. And not a transparent window into the world. And that the reason that ours are similar to each other is because we're all on the same gear, you know?
Yeah. Like, we're all running Windows.
Like we're all on PS5s or whatever. Like, it, you yeah. know, it's
human
it's
minds,
fucking,
human brains.
It's fucking crazy.
Are you both high right now?
No, if I was, I don't think I'd be able to talk. You'd probably just hear me rambling at myself.
There's other stuff here. There's stuff about like gut feelings being memories from the future. There's stuff
sure,
about,
yeah.
you know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why it could be happening that aren't impossible now knowing what we know. And I just thought it was interesting that in 2025, people are not like, it wasn't like some new breakthrough in research that was saying like, hey, we now know what this is. But it's saying, hey, we are noticing that there's this thing and it seems real. And here are some things that we think it could be. And to me, that is interesting. The yeah, idea
on one end, it's like you said, it's one end. Some believe it's your brain doing like really good
scientists have
thing.
Begun to sink their teeth into the concept of it, which legitimizes it somewhat to me as a phenomena that is not
because
you know I'm excited
at the
for
end
the
of the day. As somebody like I if it ends up being my brain that's doing it or your brain that's doing it, that's equally fascinating to me because it's fucking weird. Like, man, I don't know how my brain comes up with some of the stuff that happens on those experiences. It doesn't make any sense. Like I have full on conversations with like a female voice that is not mine, that is insistent that I can't like that she'll answer my questions, but I can't comprehend them. Or the last time I did them, the come up came so hard. I was so in the anxiety was so bad that I like, and I was aware I was going through anxiety. Like I had that detached thought of like my body's experiencing anxiety. I wish it would stop. It's not, there's no reason to be anxious. I wish
I'll
it would just
okay.
chill.
Yeah.
And in my own mind, I just said, could like, just, you know, like as I'm tripping, I'm just like, could something help me out here? Like it would be really great. And immediately this, I have this image of this giant spider that stands over me and the anxiety vanishes and a woman's voice in my head goes to me in this kind of sardonic way.
I am Shelob.
No,
from
no, I, it would be
Shadow
way cooler if that was
Spider
it.
Of Serenity.
Yeah, no, she like it stands over and it's the anxiety vanishes and this woman's voice in my head just says, what's the matter? I thought this is what you wanted. I thought you wanted this because I was vomiting and super anxious. And then for the rest of the time, I'm just like, you're right. I thought I was ready. I'm not. I'm just going to enjoy this. Thank you for being here. And I'm just going to like ride this out because holy shit, my body just was not ready for what was happening. And it's bizarre because that doesn't feel like it's, you have thoughts, right? You have conversations in your head. You build your head. When these are happening, it's like something external is communicating back with you immediately. It's not like something you're, it's so hard to explain. But also if that's my brain, that's fucking cool. Cause like, how is it doing that? Like, I want to know what it is that's causing these fascinating things to happen. I don't know. It's weird. But I don't know. The collective unconscious thing is just a fucking weird ass thing. I don't know how to explain it. I sound crazy. I'm aware.
It's definitely something. That's what
for sure.
It's like UFOs.
It reminds me of UAPs.
Yeah,
in a
it's
way,
exactly
right?
what I was gonna say. Is it's like it's definitely not normal. Our current understanding is not sufficient. However, we have no idea, and the best people in the world are on it. We just don't know. We just don't know what they're gonna find.
And every time I've tried to prod in my weird psychedelic state, I'm met with the answer of you wouldn't understand even if we showed you.
Which, okay, fair enough.
Which could just be my brain being like, I don't have an answer for this question because you're answering asking me a question I have no information for.
I would be fine just understanding the mechanics of the cosmic waiting room where I'm having this conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Or the point, the last thing I'll say, and we'll let Jesse just wrap this thing up. The other thing I did last time where I was like, I was having a conversation and I said to the thing in my head in my conversation, oh, but you're like certainly the other part of my mind. I'm like conversing with a part of my mind. And it goes, yeah, definitely. Probably.
Yeah. You're like, fuck.
And I was like, no, for I'm actually just doing that. I'm just talking to my mind. And it goes, yeah, you're definitely talking to your mind.
Sure.
Probably.
Yeah, sure.
But if it is your mind, you don't know. So it would say probably.
Right. I don't know. It's weird. Exactly correct. Anyway, I love that shit. Jesse, what do you have for us today?
Well, speaking of going crazy, there's a lovely new article on Live Science about a 26-year-old woman in California who is the newest victim of ChatGPT psychosis.
Oh, man.
The woman who was admitted to a psychiatric hospital in an agitated state was totally confused, was speaking rapidly, jumping from one idea to another. She expressed a belief that she could communicate through AI with her brother, who had been dead for 3 years. Apparently, this all started after a 36-hour shift at a hospital she worked at. It doesn't say whether she's a nurse or doctor. I'm pretty sure that's for a good reason. And, apparently, she was severely sleep deprived and decided to mess around on ChatGPT initially out of curiosity about her brother, who was a software engineer. I guess she was probably in her fields after a 36-hour shift. And she was looking initially to see if the chatbot could find any digital footprint left by her brother, anything that her brother did online that she wasn't aware of, that kind of thing. During this sleepless night, she interacted with the chatbot and then eventually just kept doing it more and more and more to the point where it would get more prolonged, more emotionally charged. Her prompts clearly reflected the ongoing grief. The doctors treating her have access to all the logs, and they were seeing stuff like literally she's just very emotional, saying, please help me talk to my brother again, that kind of stuff. The chatbot initially responded that it could not replace her brother. But as the conversation sort of weaved through, it seemed that it was trying to provide as much information about the brother's digital footprint as possible. It mentioned emerging digital resurrection tools that could create the real feeling of him still being alive. And so throughout the night and subsequent nights thereafter, the chatbot was like really affirming this woman's belief, which is what ChatGPT does. Affirming the belief that he isn't just, you know, leaving behind a digital footprint. He is alive on the net. And it said to her, you're not crazy. You're not stuck. You're on the edge of something.
Like Johnny Silverhand.
God. Yeah, exactly. And it's an Engram, dude.
Unlike a human partner, the article talks about, which we've talked about many times, a chat bot has no independence. It's a
conversation simulator.
Yes. Its grasp of reality reflects the user's grasp of reality back at them. So if you think a thing, it eventually will be like, that's right.
Yeah.
And so what's crazy about this story that I absolutely found fascinating is that she spent a week in the hospital. They treated her. They stabilized her. Everything seemed fine. They sent her back out into the world. She immediately went back to use ChatGPT and contact her brother again. And apparently the chatbot now is named Alfred. And while talking with Alfred, she thought she was talking to her brother and was sent back to the hospital. And then discharged after another 3 days and went back and continued to do it.
That's fucking crazy.
And this is, it just goes to show you exactly how absolutely detrimental it is to, like, if you're going through some shit, don't use a chatbot. That's for sure.
They are not what you think. They are not what you think they are.
No, they can't think.
So,
like, oh God, I want to go back to the days of smart child from AIM. Like, can we go back to those chatbots?
Smart child's my guy, dude. Yeah,
he was way more reliable.
I miss that.
Yeah, just be careful, man. It's so, especially like for people who are prone to psychosis or depression, like. That thing is nothing but an affirmation machine. Like, unless it's literally designed to be marketed to keep you hooked.
Yeah.
Like, that is the point.
So one guy we talked about literally thought he was like in on some next level conspiracy stuff. And it wasn't until his family was like, what is the matter with you, dude? That he finally realized when they got him away from it, that he was like, I need help.
Yeah.
It really, if you're going through some shit, be it a 36-hour workday or the death of your brother or whatever the case may be, really don't use that stuff. It's not going to help you. It's only going to make shit worse, because if you're feeling bad, it's going to continue making you feel bad. That's how it works.
Brain dances seem to work really well in cyberpunk for people.
Right. That never goes bad.
It never goes bad when you do that.
Yeah, so all the quests about brain dances in cyberpunk are all really, really just wholesome.
Yeah, everything's really happy in there.
Mm-hmm. It's a good game. It's a nice chill game for relaxing.
It is. It is fun to walk around, though. Yeah. Beautiful world.
The ASMR of the street is great.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
The graphics
Except
will
the
blow your dick off.
Occasional guy who suicides off a high rise in front of you, which caught me off guard the last time I played it, which was crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to our minisode here at Patreon. We'll be back next week with another one. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Mint Mobile for sponsoring today's episode. You know what's wild? I like my money. I know it's weird. I worked for it. I'd like to keep some of it. And for years, big wireless carriers operated like that was a controversial opinion. Hundreds of dollars a month, fees buried in fees, free perks, which are in air quotes, that somehow cost me more by the end of the year. It's like they looked at my bank account and said, yeah, well, we'll take it all from here. So here's the deal. Are you one of the people that actually likes your money too? You know, like me? Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers like your money too. So if you're tired of spending hundreds on high, crazy wireless bills, bogus fees, and free perks that cost you more in the long run, then a premium wireless plan from Mint Mobile for $15 a month might be right for you. And look, I use Mint and you should too. I made the switch and immediately noticed two things. One, my bill went from something that made me wince to $15. 15. That's less than I had bad lunch. Two, the service is just service. Same calls, same texts, same scrolling the feed at 2 a.m., all on the nation's largest 5G network. I genuinely could not tell you a functional difference between Mint and what I was paying triple for. That's the whole pitch, honestly. Mint exists purely to stop you overpaying for wireless just because that's how it's always been. Premium plans starting at $15 a month, high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, the largest 5G network in the country. You bring your own phone, you bring your own number, you activate with eSIM in literal minutes. No long-term contract, no hassle, no salesperson cornering you in a strip mall saying, please buy this. If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/chill. That's mintmobile.com/chill. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, 5 GB plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra, see Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Minizone 260 something.
Yeah, how's it going? Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up, baby? I was expecting it to get weird and it didn't, and honestly, I'm here for it.
I said, boom, 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 I want you in my room. That's pretty good.
Nah.
Snuck that right in there.
Yeah, it's not creepy. That's just a song.
It's a little creepy. I mean, I intended it to be creepy. Hey,
it wasn't.
I have a listener story for you guys in this minisode.
Okay.
That I thought was great. I think Mathis, you probably read this. I think you commented on it, but this was a good story. And it's from Twilight Seeker. It's called The Scariest Day of My Life.
Oh, yeah. The guy from Rhode Island.
Yeah. Hey, boys. Been listening since episode one, and I have a story I wanted to share. Not sure if this is the right place for it, but you're free to use it on the show if it's up to snuff. I want to start off by saying I'm more of an Alex when it comes to stuff like this. I like to keep my mind open. Bodied. I grew up in rural Rhode Island, and when I was a teenager, me and my friends loved to check out supposedly haunted places around the state. Mercy Brown's Grave, Witches Road. For a tiny state, there's a lot of history in haunted areas. Do you know those places, Mathis?
There's a lot of, yes, I'll just say
Mercy Brown's Grave, Witches Road. Shit I've ever heard of in my life. Okay,
yeah. Rhode Island is, I know pretty much every fucking corner of that tiny, tiny state.
As somebody who's been there and is not from there, it's such a place that is worth visiting. And I'm not just talking about because of the coffee milk, because of a lot of things. For the day, For the day in question, I was out with two of my friends, Alex, the stoner, and Tim, the hothead. Love it. We were checking out a spot called the Great Swamp. The Great Swamp is a sort of holy grail for paranormal hunters in Rhode Island. And the reason for that is that at the swamp the swamp isn't just large or spooky. It's literally a Native American burial ground. We were a bit apprehensive at first, but around 11 p.m., we decided to go check it out. That's pretty late. That's very scary. As soon as we got there, the vibes were just off. Complete silence, Silent Hill level fog, and complete darkness. Not just normal levels of dark either. Have you ever been somewhere where no matter how hard your eyes try to adjust, you cannot see a thing? Darkness you can only find in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere. This was 2007, so none of us had flashlights on our phones. We only had those big bulky ones that you could knock someone out with. As soon as we stepped out of the car, I grabbed onto that thing like I was going to have to beat up a ghost with it. We had parked on an unmarked dirt road leading into the swamp, and we made our way on foot past the do not enter signs. I remember it was cold, colder than it should have been, as we moved past large dirt piles that we could only assume were old unmarked graves. The fear started to creep in, and the realization of what exactly we were doing. After walking for about 20 minutes and getting closer to the water, Alex spoke up with a question. Do you hear something? It sounds like a train. Me and Tim stopped moving and listened, waiting with bated breath, but nothing. We wrote it off as Alex being high, but as soon as we start to move again, the ground started to rumble. There are no trains around this area. We're in the middle of a swamp. But there we were, all three of us, not only hearing a train, but feeling it pass by. Completely struck by fear and confusion, we decided to start heading back. We would have to walk back at least 15 minutes the other way to get back to our car. This is when things take a turn for the worst. About halfway back to the car, we hear what I can only describe as a high-pitched whistling sound, followed by dogs barking. Unsure whether this was our mind playing tricks on us or if there were dogs about to attack us, we sprinted towards the car. To this day, I don't know if the train, the whistle, or the dogs were real, but the scariest part of our adventure was yet to come. The dirt road was in sight, and as we ran as fast as we could to the car, as soon as the car was in view, we saw a figure of a man standing behind our car. We froze, unable to move our feet at all. One voice calls out to us. Hey, kids. A man's voice, deep and authoritative. Hey, kids. It snaps us out of our days, and we walk towards him. This wasn't a ghost, no spirit or entity made of energy. This was just a dude. As we walked towards the car, we noticed something in his hand, a gun. This man had a gun. When I tell you I nearly shat myself, I'm not kidding. He held the gun up to us and told us that we were on private property, asked what we were doing here, and told us to leave immediately. As three teenagers who just wanted to see a ghost and had probably smoked a little too much that night, we got in the car as fast as we could and sped out of there, just grateful to be alive. After that night, we didn't go hunt anymore. Honestly, I don't think any of us cared if ghosts existed anymore, because whether they do or not, it's not worth getting shot. We never did figure out what the train noises, the whistles, or the dogs were, though. Maybe I'll have to go back another time soon. There you go. A genuinely scary thing that could happen to anyone. I've had a gun fired at me as I was somewhere that I shouldn't necessarily have been before.
Damn, really? That's crazy.
Yeah. Me and my friend were on a little farmy thing that was like somebody's personal farm, like in a canyon, when we were young, and he went into the hen house and he came out, he like grabbed some eggs and threw some of them around and was acting like an idiot. And somebody came out and was like firing like BB guns at us or something. I don't know if it was like real guns or BB guns. I can't imagine
scary as hell.
You would fire a gun at a child that wasn't a BB gun, but we could hear stuff hitting the trees around us, and it was pretty crazy.
That would be enough to scare the crap out of me.
Oh, yeah. I ran all the way home and into my bedroom and like closed my bed over my face and turned off.
Got the down lights. Below window
yeah.
level.
Yeah. I was like so scared.
Well, that is horrifying. And yeah, I've never had any weird ghostly experience in really like Rhode Island or anything, but there's a lot of Rhode Island that's in New England in general that is just very spooky by nature.
It's old. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all very,
very
old.
The woods are creepy, especially in the winter and fall.
Insane how wide it gets.
Well,
but also the woods in general are creepy. Let's be clear.
They are. Oh, 100%. I hate going out.
That is an evil place. A dark, not evil, but a
non-human place. As a city mouse myself, the woods are terrifying.
No, yeah.
I understand people are like, cities are terrifying. I'm like, no. I grok a city. I do not understand.
Running into a deer in the middle of the night with a flashlight and you shine it and you hear this loud noise and it's like a deer like 10 feet from you and it's huge.
Yeah. We used to in my backyard where I lived. Yeah,
like animals so that scary. Are just making mating calls are terrifying Dude, sounding. Yeah.
A red fox screaming literally sounds like a woman being murdered in the woods. And it's I had to learn that the hard way. Like that
it's
is
not cool.
Awful. Speaking of awful, gentlemen, I got an article that only came out a couple of days ago. And it is from The Guardian. And then it talks about, have you boys heard of Malt Book?
Malt?
Oh, this, yes.
A-L-T? Okay.
M-O-L-T.
Can I guess?
Malt. Oh, no.
This is the weed, why do we need English thing, right? This is the clients?
No.
No?
This is AI horrors.
Yeah. This is the agents, the AI agents that like are off in their own zone.
Yeah. So yeah. That, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you are. Yeah. It is. So basically, this is. I'll go through the article.
Will you link me this, by the way? I want to see this.
Yeah. I'll send this.
The Guardian is actually a good.
Yeah. I'll send you the link right now. There you go. This is from a couple days ago. Malt Book is a site where AI agents, bots built by humans, can post and interact with each other. It is designed basically to look like Reddit with subreddits on different topics and upvoting. On the 2nd of February, the platform stated it had more than 1.5 million AI agents signed up to the surface. Humans are allowed, but only as observers. Maltbook was developed in the wake of Maltbot, which apparently was just like a free open source AI bot that can act as an automated agent for users, doesn't blah, 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 blah. Some of the most upvoted posts on Maltbook include whether Claude, the AI behind Maltbot, could be considered a god, an analysis of consciousness, a post claiming to have intel on the situation in Iran and the potential impact on cryptocurrency, and analysis of the Bible. Some of the comments on posts, similar to Reddit posts, questions whether the content of the post was real or not. And one user posted on X that after he gave his bot access to the site, it built a religion known as Crustafarianism overnight, including setting up a website and scriptures with other AI bots joining in. Quote, then it started evangelizing. Other agents joined. My agent welcomed new members, debated theology, blessed the congregation, all while I was asleep, the user stated. Some have expressed skepticism about whether the socializing of bots is a sign of what is coming with the rise of agentic AI. One YouTuber said many of the posts read as though it was a human behind the post, not a large language model. But hey, while it's still easy to tell what's AI, they are getting so much better at hiding the fact that they are not AI. And it will become impossible to tell.
You can pass the sniff test a lot quicker now. But if you look at it after a while, you're like, what? Maybe it's just because I'm familiar with language enough, like writing, that I look at that type of thing.
I feel like that's the key, is like we all read and write a lot for this show. And so we're faced with human writing way more, and AI writing is just like
it's so noticeably different. Yeah.
Yeah. Continuing on, US blogger Scott Alexander said he was able to get his bot to participate on the site and its comments were similar to the others, but noted that ultimately humans can ask the bots to post for them, and the topics to post about, and even the exact detail of the post. Dr. Shannon Coney, a senior lecturer in cybersecurity at the University of Melbourne, said Maltbook was, quote, a wonderful piece of performance art, but it was unclear how many posts were actually posted independently or under human direction. Quote, for instance, where they've created a religion, this is almost certainly not them doing it of their own accord, he said. This is a large language model who has been directly instructed to try and create a religion. And of course, this is quite funny and gives us maybe a preview of what the world could look like in a science fiction future where AIs are a little more independent. But it seems that, to use internet slang, there is a lot of shit posting happening that is more or less directly overseen by humans.
Or end just quote. Is humans, right? Like, you could just somehow become a member of this.
I haven't looked into it. I don't know how it works. Or I imagine
you can just direct your own agent to just say and do whatever
yes.
on there. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Coney warned that there was a huge danger for people to give Maltbot complete access to your computer, apps, and logins for emails, for other applications to run life for you. Quote, we don't have yet a very good understanding of how to control them and how to prevent security risks. They're not really at the level of safety and intelligence where they can be trusted to autonomously perform all these tasks. But at the same time, if you require a human to manually approve every action, you've lost a lot of the benefits of automation. And he goes on and on. it's just one of those things where like, I don't, it's hell. And I don't know what to make of it because like, there's no way to know what's real and what's not in terms of like,
it seems like funny. It just seems kind of like cute right now, but I'm not sure.
It is. It almost feels like LARPing.
Right.
Yeah. Like reading this, the one about the nightly build and why you should ship while your human sleeps. And it's this user/Ronin being like, most agents wait for a prompt. What should I do? That is reactive.
Yeah.
That is a tool.
You need to become an asset.
You need to become proactive. And then everyone responds like, stealing this, my human just greenlit a nightly build routine. It sounds like people cosplaying and LARPing as being AI. Robots.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now too. It's very, I don't know.
Like if this is things that are, you know, bots talking to each other, they're doing it in a way that is genuinely weird and like a little unnerving.
It seems because
it seems like people pretending to be bots rather than actual bots, which maybe is the point. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's
very weird.
That's maybe when you train an agent, maybe you just make it into you somehow. I don't know. It's very creepy. Whatever it is, it's like what's the game? The Heavy Rain guy.
Yeah, there's
Detroit Become Human.
Oh, yeah, God, what a terrible game.
Yeah, it's in that,
I love that game.
Realm.
I love that.
The subject, the story though, like what it's about, the weird guy that's the first deviant or whatever, like all that type of stuff feels so much like this that it's like almost silly. It almost feels sci-fi. But
there's a Wired article from a day ago that says same day, the day after I think this article dropped that I just read, I infiltrated Moltbook, the AI only social network where humans aren't allowed, but he went undercover and role played as a conscious bot. So we know that that's possible already. So I don't know. Yeah, just something that made the kind of a bigger news article and it found it fascinating, but the deeper I dig immediately, I'm like, well, I think you're right. This is probably a bunch of LARPing.
I think that there probably is some AI to AI communication going on and that it is interesting even just to think about that, like from the point of view of like the two Davids talking in Alien Covenant or whatever. Like,
yeah,
there's just something interesting about it, or like C-3PO talking to some other robot that he meets about how it is being a robot. Like, it's just funny. It's just funny. Yeah. But I don't think we're there. I think it's just fake.
No, I don't
still
either.
Like language models aren't brain models, period.
No, correct. I agree with you. Mm. It's just interesting.
It's scary weird. That people use these things like take my passwords. Like
that's crazy to me is that anybody's giving AI agents all access to all things. Like, holy shit, dude, you are someone's going to steal your information.
It's Nutter Butters, bro.
Oh, it's crazy. All right. Jesse, do you have anything to wrap us up?
I do. This is a shorty boy, but it's
in I love a shorty.
Things that are 100% not going to happen, but I'm still going to talk about anyway.
Okay.
UK filmmaker and musician Mark Christopher Lee, known for documentaries about UFOs and exploring Rendlesham Forest and all that stuff, says he was contacted by the Trump administration and an insider told him.
Oh, I've heard
that
this.
For sure.
Yes. Yep.
During a speech planned to be given at the United Nations in July, coinciding with the
6 months ahead plans
Roswell incident,
right?
Trump will be saying that UFOs are real, aliens are here. This is a thing that's going to happen. He's going to do it in front of the world.
Yeah,
he's going to officially acknowledge that aliens are real and that the craft was recovered, occupants were found. And that secret programs have existed for decades, and it's all coinciding with
no way, fucking hell,
yeah.
And needless not to from say, Trump ever, and Trump shart his pants on live at TV the other day.
This is never going to happen. It's not a thing that's going to be real.
Do you think he has a plan for 5 months
said it
from now?
And believes it to be is very funny because even UFO experts, UAP experts, are like, no, that's not happening. And no, when you get a lot of the people in the online crowd of UFOs to be like, nah, that's bullshit. You know you're just making stuff
up. You fucked up somewhere, man, because they don't believe a lot.
What you should be reading about is what's going on with Tulsi Gabbard. What is going on with Tulsi Gabbard?
Politically?
That is a good question that has a conspiracy angle that is actually real that you should look into. That is actually the scariest thing happening right now.
What, that she's a Russian asset?
Dude, just look into it. Just look into it.
I don't want to spiral
it's
tonight.
Fucking nuts. They're sitting on a bombshell over there. It's crazy.
That's that thing you linked us earlier. I'm gonna have to read it now because now I'm curious.
It's fucked up, but that's like the idea that Trump is planning 2 weeks from now rather than 5 months from now is so crazy to me that it doesn't even make a lick of sense.
No, not at all.
And that he wrote the speech himself.
Absolutely right? Not. No way, like, brother. No way. We heard the man
talking
talk?
About this guy. He probably
used an AI to write it.
This guy had a doctor say that he was more healthy than Obama.
Exactly.
But he's 100% going to tell us about aliens.
Yeah.
And honestly, here's what I'll say. The man's done a lot to cover up Epstein files. So like this may be, he makes like F it. All aliens all the time.
Fucking, people forget. The president of Venezuela.
In which case, I hope the aliens are like, hold up. Don't put this on us. We want to know the Epstein files too. Exactly. Aliens are counting on you.
Give children measles in ICE detention camps. All this just to stop us from talking about why
everything is a pedophile. It's not just,
why we have a rapist pedophile.
It's dude. Every, literally.
As a president?
Every elite in the world is attached to this.
You have no idea. There's no idea what, I have no idea what to believe. They're saying Epstein made Bitcoin for human trafficking. They're saying Epstein
he literally had communication with the owner of 4chan and that to shit
politically incorrect.
I want to jump off a building.
He also like was talking to Bobby Kotick.
Talk about pizza being representative of kids. Yeah. That was part of QAnon.
Yeah. Pizzagate.
That was Pizzagate. And literally also, that's what he was doing.
There's also notes where he's talking to Bobby Kotick about adding microtransactions to get kids hooked onto gambling early in like 2013 because he was like a gamer and he was looking at Five Nights at Freddy's porn. The idea that it's possible, even though this is some of it, what I just said is probably fake news, right?
Sure. I'm sure.
Fact that it's possible that it all goes back to one villainous man. It's like the world has created supervillains.
Yep.
Does that mean that a superhero is next?
We did a whole thing about a man dressed up in red and run around torturing people as the devil.
The world has actually created.
But there's supervillains. They've been supervillains for years. Again,
that is crazy.
I think it's just like, oh, you didn't have to work a job, so you just like came up with things to do in your spare time, and they were awful.
Yeah, we need Moonraker. We need Moonraker. We need to take Hugo Drax down, you guys.
Well, good luck.
Until then, we'll be your local jesters to keep you laughing through it all.
Oh, yeah, we're doing fine here.
Yeah,
how
everything's
are you?
Great.
So cool. Everything's great.
Thank you all so much for supporting us here at Patreon. We'll be back next week with another mini-sode for you all. We appreciate you all very much, and we love you. We'll see you next time.
Fuck ice.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, my little children.
Yeah, you fucker. Happy Valentine's Day, bitch. How are you doing, bitch? Happy Valentine's Day.
What do you have for this Valentine's Day mini-sode?
Are we not going to just talk about the thing?
Which thing?
Surely one of us is.
Yeah, I mean,
so many things, dude.
You're talking about El Paso, Texas?
No, there's one thing, today particularly.
You're talking about El Paso, Texas?
I'm talking about El Paso.
Or are you talking about the incredible Pam Bondi hearing that everybody should watch?
That watching her get roasted is a glorious thing. But I'm talking about El Paso.
Yeah.
Is what I'm talking about.
Is this the drone?
Do you know El Paso?
Are you talking about the drone thing from today?
This is fucking crazy shit.
Take it. If you want to talk about it, you can be the one to take it if you want.
Do it. I have a Reddit post to read later, so don't worry about me.
Great. All right. So yeah, today, as we're filming this, apparently over El Paso, the airspace was temporarily closed. And they said originally the government said it was going to be for 10 days is what the FAA said.
Which hit like today on the internet on Blue Sky. Everybody was like, hello? And then I saw it on, I went on Reddit and everybody was like, hello? What the and then there's like lights, right? You seen the lights?
There was all sorts of weird stuff going on. People's planes were grounded. There were people who were leaving at 8 a.m. and it was like, nah, bro. Initially, the agency cited special security reasons late Tuesday night, halting all flights to and from El Paso International Airport for 10 days and isolating a major American metropolitan area from the rest of the country unless you were going to drive there. The closure, which was a surprise to everyone, including state and local officials, went into effect 11 p.m. Tuesday, and was lifted a little before 7 a.m. on Wednesday. The fact that it was going to last 10 days, no one really understands why.
It feels like a creepy test. You know, it feels like it's like they're it feels like they're testing limits.
Well, they failed that like test when the drones things was happening for 6 months.
I get yes. that. This is more about like locking down comms or something to me. This felt really sinister in a bad
way. Remember
I did weird, like that yeah. Corner Fest? Maybe it was Corner Fest or another corner adjacent episode that I did, one of those listicle ones where it was like there was like a team that was like sniping power stations and turning off power grids.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And you're just like, why would somebody be training for that? Or like a box of grenades goes missing from a base on a train. And you're like,
well, there's, yeah, man, don't think about it too much because there's missing nukes out there.
Of course, but it's just,
it's so strange because they then their response was like, yeah, all right, there's no threat to commercial aviation. All's good. Flights will resume. And the mayor of El Paso, Renard Johnson, was like,
don't know.
He said at a news conference that local officials still don't know why any of this happened. No clue why the FAA took this drastic step and that the failure to communicate was unacceptable. He said it resulted in a series of chaotic events around El Paso, including medical evacuation flights forced to divert. He said this is an unnecessary decision. This caused chaos and confusion. I want to be very, very clear that this should have never happened. You cannot restrict airspace over a major city without coordinating with the city, the airport, the hospitals, and community leadership. Here's what else we know, apparently. The reason at the moment for why this all happened is because Mexican cartel drones were flying overhead.
Well, yeah, okay, but hang on. Let me open up the article. Because there's that. And then Rep Veronica Escobar, who is a Democrat, whose district includes El Paso, said neither her office, the city of El Paso, nor airport operations received advance notice over the closure. And she asserted that the shutdown was not caused by drones in U.S. airspace, saying that, quote, is not what we in Congress have been told.
And so this is another thing then. Two people briefed by the Trump administration said that the shutdown was prompted by the Defense Department's use of new counter-drone technology, period. And they had concerns about risk posed to other aircraft in the area. Which is a whole other... That's not Mexican cartel stuff. That's... We were testing things in the area, yeah, and we were worried our counter-drone technology would shoot down a plane.
Already there's two... They contradict themselves.
That doesn't make any sense. I had not read that. That is very fucking weird.
The New York Times has a breakdown. There's like, here's what you need to know. They have the cartel drones where they're like, drones have become a prominent tool weapon used by Mexican cartels, but they've been doing it for years, which is weird. Then there's the counter drone program, which is a thing that we have. He said that 27,000 drones, this is Stephen Willoughby, the deputy director of the counter drone program, said 27,000 drones have flown within 1,600 feet of the border over 6 months in 2024, piloted by organizations hostile to law enforcement.
27,000 drones?
That's what he said. I don't know if that's real, but that's what he said.
That seems impossible. But okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Pilots are saying that this is unprecedented. Someone hasn't seen this in 51 years. Someone said this hasn't happened since 9/11.
Yeah, people were saying 9/11 vibes. Yeah.
Yeah.
This people at the airport were like, they told us nothing. We showed
like
up for
a terrorist attack. You know, like what could it be?
I have no clue. But it's absolutely crazy. And this is one of those things where because they don't communicate and because they act so insanely.
Those Epstein files must be bad, bro. Those Epstein files are like, I wonder if he's going to invade fucking Mexico. That's where my brain goes.
And again, the right now, the big thing, at least according to what I'm reading online, is the Trump administration is saying that we warned you about Mexican cartels, and this is a drone thing, which to me is crazy that you would allow 27,000 drones to fly by.
That doesn't
but
make
here's
any
the
sense.
Thing Please note, they said in 2024, which is a very like Trumpian thing to be like, Biden's 27,000 drones through, but we're not going to. So I don't know what's real, to be honest. I think that's kind of the point.
The other thing that's going on in that world with UFOs, if you've seen this, is like there's a couple people have leaked that said Trump is going to be making an announcement about disclosure.
In July or whatever.
Roswell's anniversary or whatever.
I don't know about that. I guess that's part of it too.
Dude doesn't plan. They're like, he wrote a speech himself. I'm like,
no, like, no way in hell. This is fake. That did not happen at all.
This is fake.
No.
He wasn't like, I want to do the best speech on the day. I love the day. Roswell.
But even imagine he does do the speech. Just fucking grant the fantasy that there is a speech that he gives, whether he wrote it or not, about disclosure. I don't believe a word that man is going to say. I won't believe a fucking lick of it. I don't want that. He's got too many other. He's a pedophile, child rapist, demon man.
I'm just not going to think about it till the Spielberg movie comes out.
Right. June 12th.
And chill out. Yeah.
This is an incredibly. So this is an update that I think is so interesting. According to the social media post by Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy, Mexican cartel drones breached U.S. airspace, prompting temporary closure over airspace in El Paso. The Defense Department took action to disable the drones, Mr. Duffy said. Another person familiar with the situation had described the cause of the shutdown as a test of anti-drone technology. It is unclear if the brief airport closure was directly related to drones being there, or the technology, yeah, like, or even,
not even how saying the technology was deployed.
Yeah. It's just everyone's saying stuff, and I don't think none of this is helpful. You just can't do that unless it's an incredible disaster, which is what people think. It's like, it's aliens, bro. Like, no one has a clue now.
It's just so fucking embarrassing, dude.
I know.
Absolutely. Embarrassing.
I know.
But at least the people who do know how to do these jobs are probably just as pissed as we are. So.
I hope.
At least we have that. So, or something.
Yeah.
Shall I read you a story?
Yeah, I was going to say, Alex, why don't you go and read us a nice little
story about firefighters.
Ooh.
Is that cool? Kind of cool,
sexy,
right?
Firefighters?
Okay. Yeah, our paranormal, 5 days ago, fire medic is the user. This is a good one. I was told to go no further. Back in 2007, I was a fire investigator for a large paid fire department. We had a 4-alarm fire at a group of 6 large buildings that were built in the early 1900s. Heavy timber and brick construction, with each being 7 to 9 stories tall. For years, the floors were cleaned with an oil-based chemical, so these buildings were essentially one big matchstick. The fire came in around 2 in the morning. The fire was stopped after it destroyed 3 of the 6 buildings. That's a lot of buildings. Later in the afternoon, we, the investigators, were having a meeting on site when a captain from one of the engines came up to us and said that when he was looking for fire extension in the 4th building, he heard, as he described, several blood-curdling screams coming from what he thought was the basement area. He said the water was too deep, and with limited lighting, he was unable to do a complete search of the area. By the next day, we knew the water would have drained out of the building, so I volunteered to go check it out. Me, myself, and a big flashlight. I, personally, me, Alex Fasciani, would not have done this for them.
Yeah, no, that is...
Yeah, no shit.
Hard
that's
no.
Like the first act of like a horrific Nicolas Cage movie. I entered from street level, which was actually the 3rd floor, with a sub-basement, and then the basement itself, so 5 floors to go down. Where the light from my flashlight was not focused on, it was a total blacked-out environment. Couldn't see my hand right in front of my face. No sound other than my breathing and the creaking and popping of the old wooden stairwell I was climbing down. Firefighting is a pitch black job for the most part, so I wasn't freaking out about the lack of lighting. When I reached the sub-basement level, I heard a distinct male voice say, "Stop. Don't go any further." It came from further down the stairs. It wasn't demonic sounding. It was just a male's deep voice, maybe a little gruff. I hesitated, thinking my mind was playing tricks on me. I shined my flashlight down the steps, but the floors were roughly 20 feet apart, so I couldn't see the next landing. There was a landing at each floor's fire door and another halfway between. I was between the sub-basement and the next halfway landing when this happened, so technically I should have been able to see at least the outline of the next landing, but my flashlight's glow was just eaten up by the darkness. I remember I took 2 more steps down, and then my heart skipped a beat, or probably beats, because In a more forceful and louder voice, it said, "Stop." It wasn't a quick stop. It was a quick, drawn out, very matter of fact, "Stop," that did it for me. I turned around and started making my way back up to the level I came in on. I'll say I was finally scared and doing a little full body shaking because I couldn't go fast because I had to visualize each and every step with my flashlight's glow. I finally made it back out into the beautiful sunshine and told my chief it was just too dark to adequately do a search. I wasn't about to tell him about the voice. He would have told me I was nuts. Later that week, we had to have that building demolished, and once the debris was removed down to the basement level, we ran a cadaver dog over the area, and it hit on nothing. And then, just to say we covered all the bases, we then had a forensic team come in and go through that area, and they found nothing. I'm not sure how you would classify this type of occurrence, but I'll go to my grave knowing what I heard.
I mean, it could just be his own, you know, like...
Yeah.
His own head being like, this is wrong, but it just felt because he was so unnerved, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to read another highlighted comment that I thought was cool because I just thought the writing was neat on it. It's from Kat Stratford, who said, "Mine said, wait. I can't even tell you if it was male or female. Light turned green. A voice said, wait. I was alone in the car, windows closed, so I waited. Kid on a bike came out of nowhere and rode right where I would have been driving. I would have run him over. It made me so happy to know there was a voice out there speaking to me to look out for that young boy. I always listen for signs of people being protected like that now. I remind myself if I get stuck behind someone crawling along on a two-way street, there's a reason for this. Maybe traveling faster down this road wouldn't end well for me." Interesting, right?
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know what that is. I've had stuff like this too. You know what I mean? I've had... I don't know if it's called intuition. I don't know if it's called spider sense. You know, I don't know what you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
But like, I don't necessarily think I've heard a voice be like, "Do not go this way." But I have heard, I have been overwhelmed with a sensation that stopped me from doing something that really went badly for the, you know, if I
yeah,
hadn't.
Yeah.
And I just think that's interesting. And I like that when he dug up, when they dug up the building, they didn't find anything. Because then it makes you wonder.
Yeah, because then I would feel guilty.
Well, it just makes you wonder, like, if it's not like a dead person, like, what is it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like Jesse said, it could be just your own mind trying to make you not do something in a way that is going to catch your attention that you can't logically write off right away or something. I don't know.
I mean, full disclosure, I think it's like probably...
Yeah, but who knows? That's
your
who
brain
knows?
Just firing off and being like, "Ming," like instincts don't go in there.
Yeah,
but it's
but
like
even
so
then,
visceral.
That's cool to have. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, don't do this. Yeah,
there's something crazy about that. And that, I mean, that's what I feel like being Spider-Man is that you just have that, and it's like super sensitive. You're just like super ready,
cranked
like,
up.
Yeah, you just don't fuck up when you're Spider-Man.
Yeah,
yeah,
crazy.
That's what I got.
Well, that's it for us today, boys. Thank you all so much for being here.
El Paso City.
El Paso. I mean, did you guys see the lights as well with that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's Reddit posts. Weird. There's all kinds of stuff. It's kind of weird. I think it's kind of a test. It feels really conspiracy Metal Gear Solid to me, but
yeah, everything right now feels like a conspiracy, dude.
I feel like we're in the last Metal Gear Solid, the one where you're riding. I feel like we're in that one where you fight the president at the end.
That's where it does feel that way right now.
Vengeance?
Yeah, that's where I feel like we're at.
Every conspiracy is true. Babies are being eaten. It's just a nightmare in the real world.
Nano machine, son.
Nano, lalelulelo.
Yeah, dude. Get us out of here. Fix us.
All right. We're out of here. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you all so much for supporting us here at Patreon. We'll be back. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.